Thank you, Lord. We just come before you this morning and we just thank you for every single person. And we thank you, Father, that as we lead up to the main service, that everything God said in discipleship class today, that it blesses you and it's from you. And Lord, we just open our hearts and we receive from you. And we thank you, Father, for everything you've done for us. And I just ask that you would give them boldness and that their minds are clear and their hearts are open. And we decide to open our hearts at this point. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay. Today I'm going to be speaking on the bigger picture, getting out of our own way. Because we have to get out of our own way so we can help other people, right? Right. All right. I just wanted to say, first of all, this is a trick statement to let you know in advance that's not so tricky. But I'm not here to edify you. I'm not here to lift you up. I'm not even here to teach you about the Bible. Because quite frankly, this is a trick statement. Quite frankly, I'm not here at all because it's not me speaking, it's God speaking. And we have to remember that because if you look at me, you probably won't get a whole lot. Right? Amen. Yeah, Josh and Luke are going, amen, amen. Yeah, so they're right in a way, in a way. Yes, yes. All right. Well, the first thing I wanted to say is that Jesus bought your life with the price of his blood, and that means it is his life, not yours, because he bought it. He purchased it from you. You had the choice to give it over to him, and when you received Christ into your life, you gave him your life, and that your life is now his. And that means you're spending time that's not yours. Now, the first scripture I wanted to cover, you've probably all heard it. If you would turn there, it's Romans 10:9. Now, you'll hear this scripture a lot of different places. You've probably all heard it before. All right, it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, as I was reading this, this struck me, even though I've heard it so many times, something new struck me, and that was that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and when it says that, I looked up the Greek definition of confess, and it means to declare openly, speak out freely. This is more than just a one-time experience where you go and you say the sinner's prayer and you commit to being a Christian. This isn't about committing to be a Christian. It's committing to have a relationship with God and committing to do the will of God. It's more than a one-time experience. This is an everyday walk with God. And to declare openly, speak out freely, that means that we are not restrained by our pride, what we think other people might feel when we tell them about the gospel. We put everything of our own aside. And then it says later on, I was talking to my dad about this, and when it says the Lord Jesus, that means more than just those two words, Lord and Jesus. That means the gospel. And everything that is included in behind what Jesus died for on the cross. He died for healing. He died for deliverance. He died so you could sleep at night. He died and rose again. So for everything that you could ever need or want. So it's more than just those two words. And that's confession is more than just that one time and confessing to be a Christian. It's more than just being, okay, I'm going to get saved. I am just committing to pray the sinner's prayer, or I'm committing to become a Christian. It's so much more than that. You commit to live your life before God as God wants you to live it. And this goes outside of the traditional thinking of simply living out your life as an example. So many Christians think, okay, I'll pray the sinner's prayer, and then I'll live out my life as an example. And you have to do both of those things. Those are very good. But then they stop there. And it says, confess with thy mouth. That is more than your life as an example. Your life as an example is very important. And that has to back up what you're saying with your mouth. But you have to go that step further and tell people about the gospel. And I'm going to go through a few steps here out of getting out of your own way so that we can help other people. And none of the rest of the steps will do you any good if you don't do the first step, and that is receive Christ into your life. So basically, if you got up to heaven and God asked you why he should let you in, would you have an answer? If not, then you need to make the commitment to follow God right now. And I know this is odd to give what they call an altar call at the beginning of a message instead of the end, but I think this is a different kind of altar call, so I'm going to give it a different time because I felt led to do this. So if we would all bow our heads and close our eyes, and it doesn't matter if you had been raised in a Christian family or anything like that, or you went to church all your life, that is not what will save you. What will save you is making this commitment to follow God. And so if you want to do that right now, go beyond more than just making a commitment to be a Christian, but making a commitment to follow God and to do his will, I would ask you to raise your hand right now. And that is so much more than just being a Christian. I see those hands. Now, again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just repeat after me. Lord God, I know that you died on the cross for my sins. And I realize that what you did on the cross is so much more than just being a casual Christian. So God, I invite you into my life to have a real living God inside my heart. And I do your will, God, in the future. And I thank you that you've forgiven my sins. And I will live with you forevermore. Amen. Amen. Now, on step one is the most important thing. You really don't do anything else until you've gotten past step one. So now we're to step two. Since that is the most important step, now we're on to step two. And step one was receiving Christ, and step two is getting rid of your problems and keeping them away. That's a pretty big thing to cover in a short discipleship because that's a pretty huge topic. But I wanted to start with healing today and kind of narrow it down, not cover the whole scope of all problems, but just to cover this one because of time. And if you would all turn with me to Matthew 14:34. Now I'm reading out of the King James Version. And in Matthew, basically what happened, really we can skip down to verse 36, but basically what happened was Jesus and his disciples came into Gennesaret, or however you pronounce it. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now verse 14:36 says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Now, that is the point I want to get across to you today, if I can get a point across, is don't get complacent with your healing. Because so many of us, just because an ailment or a sickness or a disease becomes manageable or treatable in the physical, by medicine, things like that, we tend to put up with it and begin to deal with it. When really, that is not God's perfect will for us. Can anybody give a example of maybe what a manageable ailment is? Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes, there are repercussions. So, anybody else? Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. But when I started praying and like reading more about healing and stuff, that's when I
started. Absolutely, that's a great point because we've probably all gotten a cold sometime or another in our lives, and then I know I have put up with it and just been like, it's a cold, everybody gets one. But it's a cold, it may come to you, but you don't have to receive it because it is not part of the will of God and it's part of the curse of the law. So, do we have any more examples of maybe something that might be a manageable ailment or something the devil's sending our way? Go ahead. Yeah.
Asthma.
Yeah. Go ahead. Diabetes, yeah, because people, you know, the insulin shots, and then they tend to just accept it as part of their life, and they feel like they graft it into their life because they think, well, it's not going to go away, so that's okay. I'll just accept it since it's not life-threatening. When something is life-threatening, people tend to go to God, which is definitely what you should do. But when something's not life-threatening, you should go to God with just as much vigor because it is also not part of His will. I want to tell the story. Actually, I was talking to Peter yesterday. He goes here. And he gave a praise report a few weeks back. I forget how long it's been now, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. About he was running in his neighborhood, and he fell, and he twisted his ankle or something real bad. And Micah was there. He's nodding his head yes, so what I'm saying must be right. So he twisted his ankle, and he couldn't walk without crutches. And I called him up, and I said, hey, do you want to hang out? And he's like, well, you know, I have to have these crutches. I can't really hang out right now. And so I let the conversation end and kind of left it at that. And then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, if you really believed that he was going to get healed when you prayed for him, you would have prayed for him. So then I called him back, and I apologized, and I prayed for him. And he said the very next day he started feeling a lot better. And within 2 days, or no, it was 3 days, within 3 days of a twisted ankle, he didn't feel it at all. He didn't even notice the symptoms of it. And 3 days ago, he was walking with crutches. Anybody who's been walking with crutches, they know 3 days later to not even know it happened pretty much in your body is miraculous. So he could have gotten complacent with it and stayed on the crutches and, you know, it would have eventually gone away just by natural process, but God doesn't want that for us, does he? And then another example would be me. I was about to go into work one day at Mosher Lawns, and my ankle, I had twisted my ankle coming off the trailer. It was, I have to admit, it was a really silly mistake. I misjudged the side of the trailer, stepped off, and twisted my ankle. But after that happened, it had been a little while, and I was coming back to work, and all of a sudden it started acting up real bad the morning I was supposed to go to work. And I was like, you know what, I don't receive this. I need to go to work today, and I can't have this. And then my back started acting up real bad because earlier in the week it hurt to the point where I couldn't put the jug of Kool-Aid back in the fridge. It hurt very badly, and then that morning it really acted up and started bothering me, and I said, you know what, I can't receive this either because I have something to do today. And then my other ankle that I had not even twisted, and I don't know why, but it was an attack from the enemy. It started hurting. Just coming down the stairs, I was going, this is crazy. Normally I am just perfectly healthy, and I never have health problems. Get downstairs to make my lunch for the day. And right now, I'm still in a lot of pain. Get downstairs to make lunch for the day. And I get hit with a terrible stomach ache. And I'm leaning over the counter because it hurts so badly. And I said, you know what? Even on a day that I wouldn't work, because, for instance, if there was a day I wouldn't work, normally I would just stay at home. But that doesn't mean I should accept this. Just because I have something to do today doesn't give me any more of a reason to let it pass by or anything like that. So I said, you know what, I don't receive this. And by the time I tied my shoes that morning, all the pain was gone, and I could work that day. Because I was going, this is the will of God for me to work today. I know it is, to be part of this business and to do work. And the devil tried to interfere with the will of God, and it didn't happen because all you have to do is believe. And he will heal you. And something manageable, we can't accept, and it is not for us to accept, and God does not want us to accept it. So next time you get even a twinge in your arm, you go, you know what, that's not of God. It might be manageable. I can take an Advil for a headache, but why do that when I could just not have it at all, you know? So, Luke 4:18. This is step three, Luke 4:18. Step three is help others. All right? I've heard my dad quote this scripture a lot because it's basically kind of like what they said at World Harvest, Josh, the apex of all Christian endeavors, basically. And Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, back to what I said at the beginning, this isn't our life. God bought it from us with his blood. And really, before he bought it from us, it wasn't ours. We had given it to the devil. But basically, he just took it from the devil with the price of his blood, and now we can spend eternity with him. And this isn't our life. So really, is it our choice to decide to sin, to live in sin, to maybe do something in our flesh, to live in pride, to not share his gospel because we care what other people think? It's not our life to do that. We're spending time that isn't ours. It's not our time to spend in that manner. It's our time. He has given us this time to spend in his will, to spend doing what Luke 4:18 just stated right there, to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So, God chooses what we do. God chooses what we do. And what we do is in Luke 4:18. So if you're ever wondering what God's will for your life is, you can look right there and it'll be sitting there, waiting for you to realize that this is exactly what we need to turn to. And I forgot the scripture back at step two, to get rid of your problems for the healing. So I'd like to go ahead and give it. It says, it's Philippians 4:8. You can turn there if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Philippians 4:8. Says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, as I went through the list, I went, wow, these are a lot of good things. You know, basically, when the devil sends you a thought your way, like the feeling of pain or something like that in your body, you go, okay, is that pain pure? Is it lovely? I never thought pain was lovely. I don't know about you, but I just never saw it that way. So as soon as it comes, you can say, you know what, devil? You're trying to make me think on something that does not line up with the Word of God. And the Word of God said not to think on that thing, so I will not in Jesus' name. And it will go away, because resist the devil and he will flee from you. And it later says in the scripture, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So basically, if it's a thought from the devil, it will not line up with these. And that's how you can tell when the devil gives you a thought, how to define it as the devil's, because it won't line up with a single one of these things on this list. You go, is that thought true? And truth is based on the Word of God. Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? The devil's thoughts are never of that, so you can immediately recognize them and kick them out as soon as you see them not lining up with this word. So that's really one of what I wanted to talk about today. And I brought a little sack of books with me. I like these books. And what we can do is we can be silent no more. And then when we're silent no more, we will end up being culturally incorrect. And when we do that, we can stop living on our heads. So basically, I have to admit to you that I've not read either of these books, and I've only read 15 pages of this one, but I can tell you what I've read has been good. So that's what I have for today.
What I wanted to talk about today is about faith, because I like the word faith. The first one I'm going to do is, can you turn to Hebrews chapter 11? Is someone who would like to read that for me? Hebrews chapter 11, 5 through 6.
By faith, Enoch was translated that he would not see death and was not found because God hath translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
What it means is that you just have to have your faith in God and you can make it through. And I have an example about when I was in school last year, and I was having a play. I was really, really scared because I had to talk in front of lots of people. It was more than I'm talking in front of today. It's really hard because normally I have stage fright. Well, I went up there and said, I can do this. So I went up there, and I talked in front of everybody. And I felt real good because they were clapping. And it was real fun. And right now is an example because this is my first time talking in front of everyone at a church. And it's really hard because normally it's hard for me because I normally am scared, but I know I can have faith in God and make it through.
Amen.
And what do you have a hard time having an example of faith in God? And 2 Corinthians chapter 5 through 7. Is there anyone who would like to read that too?
For we walk by faith, not by sight.
Yeah, I like that because it says we don't walk by sight. So it means not to walk in, say that you have a good car. And you and another, and you love it real much. And I have another one that you can say you are very rich and you want to go to church and you give half of your money. Well, I remember that there's this guy a long time ago in the Bible that he was a really rich guy. He gave half of his money, not all of it. And an old lady that was very poor gave almost all her money. And God liked that one instead of the other one because she gave all of her money instead of half of it. And it's very good because I would give almost all my money if I was her, all of it. And the main point is to have faith in God and you can make it through. That's all I want.
Father God, I thank you for this time. Lord, that we can come together. I thank you, Lord, that we can have faith in you and trust in you, Lord, to provide everything that we need, Lord, because we seek your kingdom first. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for this service that we're about to receive. In your name I pray. Amen.